Good afternoon. Welcome to Registered Ear Offenders, a very special episode of Registered Ear Offenders. Guys, are you in panic? I'm panicking. This is your host, Sal Rodriguez, along with my co-host, Chris Z. Chris, do you know what today is?
It's the end of the world.
Oh my God. It is the end of the friggin' world.
If you knew how much stuff I've put on my credit card in the last couple weeks.
I have done everything wrong the last few days in anticipation of today.
I've been having condomless sex with hookers.
Well, I do that normally anyway. But I tell you, man, it's the end of the world. Today's show is dedicated to the end of the world. It's obviously going to be our final broadcast since it's the end of the world.
Sal, I kind of came clean with my parents. I called them and I said some things I haven't had the heart to say in the past.
Like what? Said,
why didn't you read my fucking screenplay? It took me 2 years to write. I emailed it to you 3 years ago. You said you were going to read it when you retired, Dad. You retired a year and a half ago.
But that's the difference between your parents and mine. See, my mom would read my screenplay and then go, it's okay. That's what my mom would say. I swear, my mom, I think I told you this before, my mom will come see me at a comedy show and then after the show go, you were third best. That's what she'll do. My mom is like, I mean, she's just so bitterly truthful. She doesn't try to mince words, sugarcoat it. She'll tell me I'm getting fat. Like, she does all the things that a daughter-in-law would hate in a mother-in-law.
That's funny. Yeah, you have told me a few things. And
Well, you've experienced my mother firsthand.
Right. Well, that's funny, Sal, because like my mother would never say those things, but she wouldn't come to a comedy show in the first place. So I don't know which is bad, you know, which of us is... It seems like it's wrong on both ends, you know?
You're telling me that when you've done comedy in Florida, your mom hasn't been out there to see you?
They, you know, have expressed a modicum of interest, you know, an obligatory amount of interest. But usually I just go, you know what? And don't even worry about the show. You know, the show goes late. I don't know if there's going to be foul language or whatever. So I just send videos and assume they watch them.
Well, hang on. Let me ask you this, though, Chris. Your brother is a professional musician, in fact, responsible for our intro theme music. That's have right. They been out to see him perform?
They have numerous times and numerous occasions. And it's mind-boggling to me that, like, I'll call sometimes and my mother will think nothing of kind of launching into, like, whatever good news is going, you know, going down with him and sharing tidbits about, you know, good things that are happening in his career.
So this this is a case of the Smothers Brothers where your parents love him more.
It's
the end of the world, man. Let's fucking spill it. Hey, listen, man. I know that my mom loves my oldest brother, John, the most. And probably my oldest sister, Lorene. I believe that my mother loves my first two siblings the most. And I'll say that on the air if anyone's listening. And the reason is it's because I believe she loved their dad the most. So since she loved their dad the most, and we have different fathers, because she loves their dad the most, she loves them the most, respects them the most.
But you happen to live closer than they do.
Exactly. And I have the nearest internet access for right. My mother when she wants to use the internet. She comes on over anytime she feels like it.
So you got to tell that Thanksgiving story one more time.
No, it's just terrible.
It's just too
I feel like a bad son. I wanted to have a quiet Thanksgiving and just enjoy my peace and quiet in my robe. I literally just want to wear my robe all day, have some food, have some drink. Lisa was there, you know, organizing paperwork as she always does. I just want to have a quiet, relaxing day. My mother shows up unannounced. And I go, Mom, I wasn't having any visitors today. I'm just wanted to hang out and you know, enjoy the day. I said, we can get together another time. We can set up a time for this weekend, go to a movie or something. I said, but I just want to have a quiet, relaxing day. So you're kicking me out on Thanksgiving? I go, Mom, I just wasn't planning visitors today. So she essentially leaves my apartment in tears, and I'm the asshole.
And hasn't spoken to you since.
She has not called me since. I hope my mother's even alive. And I will actually mention her in subsequent things we're going to be talking about today, since it's the end of the world episode. I will probably mention my mother in the name of an apology, probably. But oh, I do. I thought, you know, look, she came over unannounced. She's done that before. I think that people should not do that. But she did it. I asked her to leave. She left crying. I'm an asshole.
I don't think, Sal, that you think people should not do that. I think everyone thinks that people should not do that.
Well, apparently not, because people do it. People do it. People go to places unannounced, arrive at people's houses unannounced all the time. So apparently people don't think you shouldn't do that. I know I wouldn't do that, only like if I was happened to be maybe somebody I hadn't seen in years or something. I mean, just like I would not show up at your place without calling. I just wouldn't. It wouldn't occur to me, but it would occur to my mother quite often.
But Sal, you're too kind. I really do think that you pull your punches, and I think you tread lightly when it comes to your mother, because there's more to the story. Yeah, I mean, you told me flat out that she was pretty unambiguous about her need to use your computer.
Yeah, she says she wanted to use my computers because she might have been on the news that day.
So she openly admits that, yet on her way out, it's about visiting you. It's about how can you kick your mother. It has, after she already came clean on the way in, that she was there for some really ridiculous reason.
Well, then she called me after the fact and said, we shouldn't bother or waste our time giving each other Christmas presents. But little does she know the joke's on her because the world's going to be ending today. So whatever. Hey, man, let's get into our show. Who do we got and what do we got today, Chris?
Oh, man, we got Nestor Rodriguez and Wyam Russell. These guys are brand new to the Skid Row Studios family. They have a really cool concept, unlike anything else on the network. These guys have sort of a conspiracy theory show.
Oh, I like conspiracy.
They're both going to join us. They're going to tell us a little bit about it. They're going to tease their program.
Yeah, from what I understand, they're not just going to do like conspiracy, like 9/11 conspiracy or alien conspiracy. These guys are going to be covering like who shot Tupac Shakur, what else, Jimmy Hoffa, like all kinds of crazy weird stuff that we've all wondered about over the years.
Yeah, because there really is kind of different schools of conspiracy. You know, there's the people who buy into the everything is a government conspiracy. Every death is, you know, the product of some kind of Manchurian candidate assassination attempt kind of thing. There's the alien set, you know, the people who believe, you know, still worried about Roswell and whether that's real or not.
I just saw a documentary called Roswell Revisited or something like that, the show The True Alien Autopsy that came out a few years ago, an alien autopsy footage from Area 51 Roswell. And you get to see this thing. I mean, they swear that this was real footage.
Yeah, it's been years, but in college, I actually wrote a paper about some of the events that transpired in Roswell. And, I mean, to call it a hoax, it's like a... For me to accept that it was a hoax is difficult because they actually had this one very high-ranking military official for the Air Force who came out and kind of gave a speech conceding that they had in fact found certain materials that were unknown to them, that appeared to be made of a substance or material that they'd never seen before and could not identify. And then a matter of 2 days later, they simply retracted it like it never happened. You know, it's mind-boggling.
Well, the interesting thing is, this brings up an interesting point that I just realized, is that you are a self-identified atheist, and which means when the world ends, you will just go to dust. I will ascend to heaven to be with the Lord in his glory.
Sure.
But do you believe in aliens?
I believe in the possibility of aliens. I've read up on the scientific probability of other life forms being there, and I'm baffled as to why people think it's so outlandish. I mean, if you know the number of stars in our universe,
like George Clooney and Brad Pitt,
correct. I mean, just here in Hollywood alone, there's, the amount of the size of our solar system, of our galaxy, I would say is a million times greater than what the average person probably thinks it is. And it's just so arrogant, the idea that somebody would think that, you know, whoa, I'm special, right? And I think the reason they don't want to concede that fact is because if they acknowledge the existence of extraterrestrial life forms, that I think upends everything they know. You know, God put me here to serve a purpose. No, he didn't. You're just a life form like any other. You know, better or worse than
even
a cockroach.
Even if somebody believes that they were put here by God to serve a purpose, maybe God put them over there to serve a purpose as well. If there is a purpose for us, theoretically, there would be a purpose for them too.
No, but if aliens came to Earth and they were different, say, biologically, you know, in physicality or, I don't know, makeup, I'm not a biologist or whatever, but that would kind of, I think, put the nail in the coffin for the idea that, you know, God created man in his own image and man did not evolve, evolution did not happen. Well, clearly, if aliens came along and they were different physically because maybe their civilizations have been around longer than ours, it would... pretty much close that case.
Well, we're only 150 miles from the Mexican border, so we just see aliens all the time every day. We take it for granted.
But they still look somewhat like
us. Somewhat. They look kind of like us. What else we got on the show today, Chris?
We got an end of the world first heartbreak.
Whoa.
I know it sounds like a stretch.
Well, we're going to let it all out. Today not that we normally pull any punches, but today we pull no punches.
Yeah, but look, here's the thing. The world is ending. We know that.
we know that for sure.
But somewhere before the world ended, our world started to end. Mine was in second grade, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that.
Wow.
So that's a brand new segment on the show. We, of course, have Chris's Corner. We, of course, have Sal's Weekly Rant. And we'll be introducing another brand new segment Sal and I called Inhuman Resources. Funny or poignant, memorable stories that took place in the workplace.
In the workplace. Could be terrible, could be tragic, could be funny, could be sexual.
And last but certainly not least, we have a end of the world confessions.
Oh.
And this one's going to be big, Sal, because it's the end of the world, so we know we can't be held responsible for anything that we admit to.
Yeah, even if it's illegal.
Right. So we're going to go ahead and we're not pulling any punches today.
Even as a matter of fact, speaking of the confessions, are we just opening on the confessions?
Yes, let's do that. Let's put it right up front in case the world ends before we finish the show.
Which it might. Chris, confessions, end of the world.
Sal, I almost killed a man.
What?
I tried to kill a man. I planned to kill a man.
Oh, my God.
Luckily for said man.
I really
man,
do hope the world ends.
Luckily for said man, he did not show. He was not where he was supposed to be. About 8 years ago when I first moved to Los Angeles, I went on Craigslist. I knew nobody. I knew nothing. And I got a room. $400 a month. Seemed like an ideal deal. So, on Lucille in downtown Los Angeles. Not far from here. Roommate turned out to be the biggest fucking weirdo. He's a loved punk rock. Apparently disliked hygiene. German guy. Real put upon. Real obnoxious. He treated me like he had to reluctantly let me live in his house. You know, it's not like we were equals. He kind of gave me like a very minimal amount of like, here, okay, here's the closet and these two shelves are yours. You know what I mean?
And these three hangers.
And he was such a prick and it continued to worsen with time that this actually happened one time. I came home in the middle of the day and he opened the back door to let some air in. So I go to take a nap and I wake up and I get out and I just bolt out of the door because I have business to attend to. He calls me later and asks me why I left the back door open. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. I didn't open the back door. He goes, no, I opened the back door. And I go, right. So, and basically what had happened is he left the back door open, and then tried to hold me responsible for leaving the house without closing the back door that I didn't even know had been opened. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he was that much of a prick and that self-absorbed. That, you know, and so...
Talk to us about the murder plot.
Yeah, and that was just one of the many occasions, and you know, and just a big coward, you know. Like one time, he you know, kind of cursed me out and left a message, you know, on the phone there, and leaving like a really. But then when I immediately called him back, prepared to let him know that his life was now in danger, like he didn't pick up the phone. But what happened is one day, I don't even remember what precipitated it. I literally turned around. I was like 20 minutes away. I was so furious at whatever it was that he did that I got in my car. And it wasn't just this one thing. It was that one thing was the straw that broke the camel's back. I got in my car. I must have driven 80, 90 miles up the 101 from the valley to get back to Lucille. So we exit Vermont, make a right on Lucille. And I literally busted down the door in fully intending to do extreme physical harm to him. And he wasn't there. He wasn't home. And I was still so fuming that I sat down at the table like a hitman would, just waiting for him to walk through the door so I can unload on him. I sat there for 1 hour.
And for the listener, Chris has been trained in Taekwondo.
I was trained 10 years ago, but no, it was, I sat there again, waiting to assassinate this. I was not there to talk. And I'm the most passive, congenial, nonviolent guy you'll ever want to meet in your life, but this guy so deserved it.
And this is a German guy, so this would have been his own personal Holocaust. Here is something you can't understand. How I could just kill a man.
Yeah. So luckily you can't convict a man for,
thinking about murder.
Yeah, not even attempted murder. Intent to attempt murder.
Well,
but
that's
either
like,
way, it doesn't matter because...
But if you remember the movie Minority Report, I think it's the Minority Report movie.
That's right, Tom.
Yeah, they convict you of just thinking about a crime.
Yeah, the thought.
So
crime
you would have been arrested if this were like 2085.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose you're right. But we'll never see 2085 because with total global annihilation comes clemency.
That's true, and that is Chris Z with his end of the world confession. Mine is, yours is pretty horrific, but mine is downright embarrassing, folks. This is from the MySpace days. If you guys remember MySpace. Before Facebook was a thing called MySpace for you youngins. And one of my favorite pastimes was printing out large size pictures of various attractive friends. By large, I mean, you know, preferably 8x10. I would print out an 8x10 image of one of my beautiful MySpace friends, cutting a hole in the mouth. You know where this is going, Chris. I would cut a hole in the mouth of the picture and proceed to fuck the picture.
You can update your Facebook, man. change my
Oh, shit, I hit that by mistake. I actually got an actual live laugh track.
So I'm sorry. Tell me, and this is your screenplay for American Pie 6?
I wish. It sounds like something a serial killer would do. But I was essentially, I did get paper cuts. I would occasionally get paper cuts. Having had sex with the paper faces of the open mouth.
I'm not the, what's that they say in the Bible, that he who is without sin cast the first stone. I had sex with a sex doll, so I can't.
Wait, what?
Not a real doll. Not a fleshy, realistic, believable woman. I had sex with one of those inflatable with the big pronounced red mouths.
Yeah, the one they use as a gag gift and all that.
And I even, what I did is
Was this like a dare?
Not really. I had a friend who was equally perverse. And luckily for him, his mother abandoned him at 15 years old, so he had the house to himself. And I actually heated Vaseline. Like, I put it in like a bowl of hot water, so it would get warmer. And I greased her up and everything.
And did you reach orgasm?
I did, and it was just a mess. So it was so unpleasant.
Did you come inside of her or on her?
I did.
You came inside of her?
Yeah.
Fucking gross. That was our end of the world confessions. Let's move quickly into our next segment, which is end of the world first heartbreak, which will probably explain why we got into such demented things. Chris, end of the world first heartbreak.
First heartbreak. So I was a very young man. I believe it was second grade. The world seemed so full of possibilities. And I had a crush on the most adorable, dainty little blonde thing. I still remember her name now, more than a quarter century later. Trace Safra was her name. Blonde, just... that girl that you see in every movie, you know, where the kid has a crush. I mean, she was that girl. And I went to a small private Southern Baptist school, so there was all of eight boys in our, in our class. And she admitted to my friend Jim and I, my best friend Jim, we were like the alpha dogs of our classroom, that she liked one of us. And she told us, hey, later on at some point today, I'm going to tell you who that someone is. And she wrote in a little note and everything. And I remember on one of these things where on the baseball field during recess, you'd have to concoct some reason to talk to her because, when you're a kid, you don't think to just go up and just talk to somebody. You have to walk up and be like, I caught a lizard or something.
I don't think adults think of that now. They just think of sending an email.
Yeah, right now.
Or a text or a Facebook.
Or you buy a drink or something. Yeah. There's always some plausible deniability going on. But Jim, who was a lot more kind of boorish and aggressive than I was, he just, couldn't wait any longer. So he literally snatched the note out of her hand and it was him. She liked him better. And
this could also be a greatest disappointment as well.
And I still remember that because I think it was the first time I'd ever experienced crestfallen. Experienced that kind of disenfranchisement, if you will.
And it's in that moment that a piece of your soul gets stripped away.
I began to die that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand because mine is very similar. In my end of the world first heartbreak, I was in preschool, I believe. My sister had a friend named Sonia. Sonia had a little sister named Lily. I think her name was Lily, like L-E-L-E, Lily. Well, I had a big crush on Lily. As a matter of fact, I think that we even like chased each other around the playground, maybe even engaged in little pecks. I think she was my little girlfriend at the time, I think, or at least my big time crush. It was, I was about maybe 6 years old. Well, Sonia and Lily and their family are moving to Texas. So our family goes to visit them and say goodbye. So I saved up my allowance and I bought Lily a little leather purse. So I go up to Lily to attempt to give her goodbye gift of the leather purse. And she was hiding behind, cowering behind her mother. I don't know. Maybe our relationship wasn't what I thought it was. But she was hiding behind her mother and I would try to give her the leather purse, try to give it to her, and she would cower and wouldn't take the leather purse. So I slammed the leather purse down on the ground and I ran out of the door crying. And that was my first heartbreak because of little Lily moving to Texas. So Lily, wherever you are, I hope you're having a great time and we're all going to die together anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that was my end of the world heartbreak.
Well, screw you, Lily. We're unregistered air offenders. Where are you?
That's right. Where are you? Hey, you guys ready to get into our guest? Devil's in the details. Chris, what do you say?
They're ready. I'm ready. So.
Okay. These guys are the newest addition to Skid Row Studios. They have a conspiracy theory show. It is hosted by Nestor Rodriguez and Wyme Russell. Let's hear it for our special guest today, Devil's in the Details. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. For,
Thank you very much for having us here.
Thank you so much.
So you guys are going to have a conspiracy theory show. Now, what kind of conspiracies are we talking about here?
Any and all conspiracies. We're interested in reaching the truth or finding the truth.
Yeah, like why Puerto Ricans are the only legal Latinos in America. I have my own theories about that.
That pisses me off. I know,
pisses a lot of people off. But I think conspiracy theories in general piss people off. The ones that believe in certain theories, you know, they get fueled up and trying to find proof of why, you know, the certain conspiracy is right. And then the people who don't believe it always get pissed off. So you got to piss somebody off.
Did anybody notice the bright spot behind the sun? Were you just out there?
No. What? Is this a conspiracy about the sun?
Well, this is the last day on Earth.
Okay.
Right. So there's a huge spot behind the sun. You'd want to go take a look.
Really?
Definitely want to take a look. I think that's Nibiru.
Yeah.
What is that like?
Planet X, my friend.
It's, you know, it's bizarre. I mean, it could be HBO doing it.
There's only a few hours left.
Well, what are your guys' theories on the whole end of the world Mayan calendar stuff?
Well, it's very interesting. The Mayan calendar itself, it doesn't end. That's the most important thing to understand.
Should I take back all my confessions?
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
You guys fucked up on those confessions, by the way. That blow-up doll shit, that's something you should have went straight to the grave with.
Nestor, that's on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 7 for us.
No, I got you. I kind of felt that.
Sal, you know, enough with 2012. What's with the holes in the pictures?
The what?
How the holes in the pictures, my friend.
What pictures?
When you put it into
the picture.
I thought you meant like a famous Time magazine picture.
If the world's going to end today, I need to find out what you did with these pictures. So you had your hand behind the picture?
No. I didn't have my hand. It was mainly to create the visual effect.
So you were
it was
just,
for the visual.
It was basically air and paper.
It was basically so that I could see my dick going into their mouth.
So it was so you were looking at your dick through the back of the picture.
Yeah, essentially it wasn't masturbating. It was essentially just sort of a visual image because I'm really voyeuristic at
it's
heart.
It's a picture of you fucking someone, but you're not really fucking someone.
Yeah. Now, did you take a picture of the picture?
Yeah, I should have taken
a
picture.
Make that your Facebook.
Wow. I should have taken a picture of the picture, then fuck that.
Well, I thought that's what you were doing and posting it.
No. I was just taking
it. That makes no sense, dude. Yeah. If you're going to do it, you got to go all the way. But I'm interested in the Mayan calendar never ending. Continue with that.
It's rotating gear, so it's actually a multitude of calendars that actually works together. Mm-hmm. But what we're actually moving into is a new age. Just merely a new age, astrological age.
This is the dawning of the age of
We're going
Aquarius.
From the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius.
That's it.
And I don't really know what that's going to do for us, but there is going to be a galactic alignment at some point today. So that could possibly trigger a what's called a pole shift, which would mean that which is theorized as being the crust of the world actually moving and shifting poles. So if that happens in a rapid manner, it's pretty much the end of life on Earth. So I'm just kind of counting down and waiting for that spot behind the sun. I want you guys to check that out.
To manifest itself in the morning.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I think it's all Sal's fault.
It sounds a lot more impressive than Y2K because I was incredibly disappointed by Y2K.
that was Y2K was just a media.
How did you prepare for that?
I didn't.
But I'm saying, do you back up all your shit on your computer?
Back
regularly?
Up? It would have been planes would have fallen out of the sky. What do I care about backing up music files?
Well, because just in case there was like some sort of a computer glitch and not planes flying off the sky. You know what I mean? At least you have no control over planes flying from above the sky or whatever. But you do have control over backing up your data on a computer.
I did back up all the important Facebook pictures.
Like the pictures of you with your cock through holes of famous people's faces, those things?
I will say this, guys. I won't go as far as to call myself a bona fide conspiracy theorist, but I have at times in my life, read up on certain subjects like the Bermuda Triangle. I read a lot of Berlitz's work. And just for example, here's the thing I think most people don't understand. You can disbelieve the official story on things without being a
conspiracy
wacko,
right.
Without wearing a tinfoil helmet.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
I'll give you a perfect example. I have in my home right now a book that was written a few years after 9/11 that basically compiles mainstream news media stories that differ. and you can actually see them change. You can see the details in these change in the stories change from, in some cases, from the same news network.
Right.
You know, 6 months ago it said, okay, well, Dick Cheney was the first in the Situation Room, and then 6 months later it was I think Secretary of Transportation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not.
But one can argue, you know, both sides, right? You can say that even though the information from the same new media source conflicts, it could be, you know, different people reporting. They didn't, you know, they didn't confirm
they didn't have
with
all the information.
Other.
The interesting part about most of it is that you know, on any conspiracy or any crime in general, most of the information you find or that is investigated is actually. In the public source, so it's in the public domain for us to find. So,
right, sure.
You know, the harder we look for
it. It's common knowledge.
Yeah, the more we uncover and the more we spread the information, then the more actions can be taken.
But you guys are going to have a lot to say about 9/11. In particular, you guys, I understand, will have a whole show probably dedicated to the conspiracies around 9/11, because I too saw a documentary.
Well, our first show was an intro to 9/11. I mean, we have 9/11 is such a broad. I mean, I'm from New York. If you haven't gathered my my accent, and I was actually down in the World Trade Center site on the 13th and the 14th.
Yeah.
I was working in Midtown, so I mean, I saw the remains and the rubble and the ashes and blah 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 firsthand.
Yeah.
You know, I would come home. You know, 6 a.m. smelling like electrical fires. I mean, I got to see a lot of the stuff that a lot of people saw in the news or in photographs.
What function were you doing there?
Well, I worked in construction at the time. And, you know, a few of us got tired of watching the same image of the planes blowing up into the towers. And this is very, as a New Yorker, it just becomes like, all right already, man, what the fuck can we do? You know what I mean? So a few of us decided to go down to the site and see what we could do to volunteer, whatever. You know what I mean? Make ourselves useful. I mean, I just felt like I work in construction. Maybe they need people to wire lighting underneath some sort of a scaffold. I don't know. Just do something.
Yeah.
I can't just be home watching. I mean, it was never ending. Just the same images over and over and over. And, you know, that's pretty much what I was doing. I mean, we for instance, here's, Chris, to give you an example. When I went down there, we could only get down as far as 14th Street. The World Trade Center site is probably about a half a mile to three quarters of a mile south of 14th Street. So there was no access below 14th Street unless you have some sort of credentials. We had our union cards as electricians. So we got to get a ride on the back of a dump truck. We went down to the site. They didn't ask for ID once you were down there. You could have been anything. The Burger King on Church Street was the new police headquarters for down there. Chief of police, CIA, everyone's running around. No one knows who's who. No one knows what's going on. You just go, hey, man, I'm an electrician. What can I do? Go over there and do this. I mean, it's just a lot of chaos, organized chaos in a sense. In the aftermath, no one knew what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you see any bodies or body parts?
No. And interestingly enough, in preparation, because it's been a long time. It's almost, 12 years now since that happened? In preparation for our first episode, I was actually watching a lot of clips on YouTube. And there is a lot of shit, man. There's footage of people hanging outside the upper windows and then eventually just falling down and crazy shit that at the time I just couldn't see. You know what I mean? And after watching these clips, you know, a week or so ago, I was shocked because there's some actual footage of these bodies coming down and going through some of the lower structures.
Yeah,
and I'm like, did they find those bodies? And I remember around that time, during the weeks after, there were reports of, you know, body parts being found. You know, here's the deal. After the towers came down, I think the biggest problem or the biggest concern was we can't go in there with heavy machinery and start, you know, going through, you know, the ruffle and everything because there might be bodies down there. So everything was done by hand in bucket brigades. You know, they had like plastic buckets and we would just, in a big long line, carry the bucket from the center of the pile to the outside of the street and dump it and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
After like, I don't know, a week or so, maybe less, they realized there are no fucking bodies. You know what I mean? They what are we going to do
pieces
here?
Yeah, literally just chunks or just pieces of bodies is all they were carrying out of there.
Meaning unidentifiable.
Well, put it...
pretty much.
Well, there was a makeshift morgue. So I took photos. I was down there with a camera, and I shot like about six rolls.
And didn't you also have an art exhibit where you were displaying these pieces, right?
I've had some of my photos displayed, yeah, in different art exhibits. But the photos are pretty cool because they're black and white, and they're taken at night. And at night, the site was really interesting because it was lit by, you know, movie studio lights that were on loan.
Yeah.
So the whole place takes on a completely different fucking eerie vibe to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Did they run you out at a specific time? Did they tell you to clear you guys out?
No, that's what I'm saying. Everyone's walking around taking... It was like everyone's walking around there like zombies, man. Literally just walking around. No one knew what the fuck was going on. I had initially, the first night I went down there, I wanted to bring my camera, but I didn't because I felt like I don't want to take advantage. You know, as an artist, whatever, whatever. The next night I went down with my camera and I just shot, like I said, five, six rolls. And, you know, there was makeshift morgues in lobbies of buildings. There was body bags. We went into Brooks Brothers, which is across the street from the World Trade Center site. There were fucking morgue bags all over the place. It just, the whole thing is bizarre. You know what I mean? It's surreal.
Do you think that if this had not happened in the internet age, let's say this happened in the 70s, mm-hmm. that the public's interest would be different than it is today? Do you think because we live in the internet age where we're one click away from the next big story, do you think that if this would have happened, let's say 60s, 70s, 80s, there would be more public attention to the possibility of a government conspiracy?
I think it would be less. I think there would be more of an accepting nature for the news and how it was presented. So in the 70s or in the 60s, you had a very stable society in the effect that the news was actually your main source of information.
Right.
And all you had was that news broadcast in your local paper.
But plus they wouldn't have, like you said, the most powerful thing.
It wouldn't be quite an outrage. I mean, they would have certainly gone along with the official story a lot quicker than a lot of the people now in the internet age.
But
the internet age is what allows the investigation.
There's more access to information now because of the internet and also the manipulation of the images. You know,
I was going to say, unfortunately, there's also more access to misinformation.
Right, and misinformation. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about it. The power of the image that they played on all the news stations over and over and over. One plane hitting, people, oh my God! Another plane hitting. They kept playing that shit for months.
But they were doing that for a reason.
For a reason, absolutely.
Right, to garner public support, and we would all be happy that we were killing people.
Right, that's what we believe, you and I, and some of us conspiracy theories on 9/11, that's our whole thing. But if you look at like the bombing of Pearl Harbor, same principle, same philosophy as far as I'm concerned. We, you know, that war was imminent. No one wants to go to war. If you think about, you know, the power of war, no one wants to go to war. The general American consensus is no fucking war. Why would you want to go to war? As soon as you create an event that, you know, blames somebody for an attack, though a good majority of the people are going to, you know, instinctually go, fuck them, bomb them. Yes.
You know, one thing people from maybe a Canada or surrounding nations will tell you, it's impressive how frightened the typical American is and mm-hmm. how we genuinely believe that we are in constant danger. Mm-hmm. First it was the Ruskies, mm-hmm. then it was Al-Qaeda.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We geographically are the luckiest country on the planet.
Right.
We have two oceans protecting us on two sides. We have the Southern Hemisphere, I'm sorry, South America below us. We have Canada above us, who's, you know, they're our allies.
Right.
Yet we literally feel that we're under constant threat, you know.
Right.
I mean, every...
It's a good way to look at it.
But think about the airports.
You gotta wonder why.
Think about the airports.
And our military funding exceeds our nearest competitor by, I think, something like 18 times.
Oh, yeah.
And yet America, you still get people that will support a candidate who's for, you know, either increasing or not cutting spending on the military.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, America didn't want to get involved in World War II prior to the bombing of Pearl
Harbor.
Even if they did hear about the Holocaust and everything that was going on through Europe and Hitler, they did not want to go.
Think about it.
The people that want to go to war are the people that make the weapons.
The people that have ulterior motives.
Sell all the weaponry and make billions of dollars.
That's one faction. That's interested. The other is always, you know, taking over another country, or oil is another.
Robbing a sovereign country of the natural resources.
Right.
That's the other half.
But you know what surprises me too is that there are still people who who would probably storm out of this room if they were here right now at the mere suggestion that any shenanigan has ever been pulled on the American public. Mm-hmm. We know about the Tuskegee Airmen. We know about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. We know about Watergate, and yet there's still people who would, I don't believe you'd believe this nonsense.
Right. How could you believe that about our country? Yeah. If you believe that about our country, then what are you doing here in this country? Right. On and on and on. Absolutely.
But it's not the country. It's the powers that be. It's the people in charge. It's the big, rich assholes. It's not anybody in this room or out there on the street.
Well, the country is not necessarily reflected by the government, right? The general consensus of the population, yes, we vote the president. Yes, we vote the president in. But the cabinet and all the other shit that goes on, it's not necessarily a representation of what the people feel and want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when you talk about the country, you know, the country is always divided on, you know, certain things. A lot of them have to do with money, right? A good majority of the people identify with a certain class because they either have money, or another part of the country identifies with another part of the country because they don't have money. Right. And it comes down to that basic bullshit as opposed to real issues.
Right. Well, Chris's point was great because the type of people who will just turn off everything and just shut it all down, those are the people that we, on the devil's in the details, we are not going to be able to reach. We can provide them with information, but the older folks or the people with that mindset, you're never going to be able to change their mind. But the new internet age, or the children or the kids or the teenagers getting involved with wanting to find an alternative ideology or thought process, aside from what we were discussing about just going along with the local news or your local newspaper, the internet gives these kids and the younger people that opportunity. So that is a powerful tool in the fight or the investigative search for truth.
So you wouldn't say that as we are in and approaching more of a generation of technology and communication, that we are not simultaneously within a generation of apathy? You don't think apathy has increased by your average person? It's because, in other words, we have so much news now. We have so much information.
No, absolutely.
Is it overload?
Is it overload? How can you act on it?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
I don't have an opinion on that specific question, Sal, but one thing I have seen and I do notice is that when information becomes too easy to access, that becomes where people go for information. And mm-hmm. I think that's a bad thing.
Right.
Because you're no longer obligated to read a book from a credible source.
Right.
You just go online. I mean, I have friends, adult friends, that they'll tell you know, they can recite Loose Change word for word. They've seen Zeitgeist 20 times. They can't tell you who their state senator is. You know what I mean? Because for some reason, they subscribe to every conspiracy that comes along.
That's apathy. No one gives a fuck about who your state senator is, because at a certain level, you believe that, who gives a shit? He's not there to do anything for you. They all have their own agendas. You know what I'm saying?
So my point, though, is that if you're looking for conspiracy, you don't need to go
that far.
Outlandish. Right. I mean, look to your own government. There's probably a conspiracy taking place in City Hall as we speak.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well, just in my own neighborhood, they've been saying for years that zoning does not allow for the building of large apartment complexes. They said that when I moved into my neighborhood 15 years ago. I heard from the local landlord commissions. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing but large complexes in that neighborhood.
And yet, guess what's happening the last 10 years? Every time two houses get bulldozed, a large complex goes up. So what the hell is going on here? I thought this wasn't allowed or zoned for this.
Right. Well, nothing's allowed until it benefits a certain power that be. You know what I mean? And if it benefits a certain power, then it's allowed.
So do we just say the rich are in charge, have been in charge, and will always be in charge?
No, we're not going to say that.
Well, when you say
because,
the rich...
The always be in charge is the key, and that is what our mission is to drive the movement. And there will be a movement that eventually brings forth a new 9/11 investigation. I truly believe that, and will actually transform this country, possibly into what we can consider a fresh start.
Wyme, I'll tell you that this happened. When I first moved here, maybe a year or two into it, I was doing Shakespeare in the Park at Moore Park in Studio City.
Yeah.
Nice. And two of the guys in our cast got into a fight.
Wow.
Wait, in the back, waiting to do their scenes because one of them was, you know, big fan of conspiracy. I don't know if fan is the right word, but he was, particularly 9/11, he was discussing it. One guy became so incensed by what he had to say that he threw a book at him.
Right.
But again, it blows my mind that people would take that reaction, that rather than go, well, hold on, I want to hear this. Then I want to verify. First, I want to hear it.
Right.
I mean, again, there's certain things that you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to, you know, to subscribe to.
To pose a question about something.
Like, for example, they just had remember that Russian guy who was, they found traces of radiation in the seat on an airplane where he had sat. And it's clear that he had been assassinated.
That was a Russian spy, right?
Yeah, he had been injected with poison. I mean, these things happen. So how is it possible to be an adult in this world and not be aware?
I mean.
Well, they're going to find the same chemical. They're going to find the same chemical on an Arafat, potentially.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's essentially what they're looking for, is kind of a Middle Eastern version of that assassination.
Guys, we do have to start wrapping this up. We may have time to hear from some more of Devils in the Details. We're going to get into our next segment right now, which is going to be Chris's Corner, followed by Sal's Weekly Rant, and then followed by Inhuman Resources. Well, maybe our guest here today would like to chime in on that. So you all ready, Chris?
Sal, before we move on, let's have you guys plug your show one more time. Tell them what time it starts, what day you do it. If they can find you on the web,
sure.
Plug away.
The Devils in the Details will be on on Fridays from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, 2 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Here on SkidRowStudios.com.
But then I believe that is starting on the 21st, right? Today.
Correct.
Time is still to be worked out, though, officially, right?
The world is not going to be around tomorrow. Yeah, you're right.
But it's going to be also
today. We're working on
it. Today is the second show that we have that we would have done.
Yes.
The 21st, and that's it. That's it for the thing. Skid Row Studios will not be here anymore because by about midnight tonight, none of us will be here. We'll all be dead.
Well, I think what I need to specify is specifically your show will follow our show. We're going to be the lead-in for you guys.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, cool, guys. Welcome aboard. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and get to my segment, which is Chris's Corner. They live amongst us. They sometimes look like us, but the absence of grace and benevolence make them fundamentally different from us. My last run-in with one of their ilk occurred when I was working catering at a Christmas party for some electrical contracting outfit out of Gainesville, Florida. As guests poured in, I spotted this dipshit dressed like Snidely Whiplash sauntering through the doorway. Black duster, black cowboy hat, and an absurd wannabe Wild West outlaw horseshoe mustache. Dinner was served. The speaker spoke. A few couples trickled towards the dance floor. Passing Snidely's table, I noticed that he was smoking a cigarette. I politely explained that smoking was a fire hazard and therefore was not allowed. I shouldn't have had to shower him with individualized attention like a developmentally disabled toddler, since signs were posted, ashtrays were absent, and everyone else wishing to court cancer had stepped outside to do so. I started off with the ashtray. "Just to be a cocky, macho, redneck asshole," he said. "I'm just going to get another one." "Good," I shot back, "and I'll have you thrown out." Snidely is the kind of guy who litters, parks in handicapped spots, and routinely drives drunk because he just doesn't give a shit. He respects nothing and no one. Imagine if the hotel caught fire, his wife and coworkers were burned alive because this self-centered sociopath couldn't trouble himself to smoke outside. I'll bet he wouldn't lose a wink of sleep. Guilt and shame are the attributes of noblemen, not boogeymen. 1 hour later, I was returning from the break when a woman ran by shouting, "Call the cops!" I rounded the corner just in time to see two bloodied brawlers being pried apart by the surrounding crowd. It's been said that assumption is the mother of all fuck-ups. I assumed that I was going to find Snidely going punch for punch with another mouth-breathing mullet-head alpha male over some inane issue like whether Dale Earnhardt's death was more tragic than Ronnie Van Zant's. I fucked up. It was not Snidely. It was his wife. Disgust hadn't even fully set in when activity in my periphery averted my gaze. I turned to find Snidely in a knockdown, drag-out title bout all his own. Were I elected president, my first order of business would be signing Snidely's death warrant before he and his wife could spawn a litter of pint-sized Snidelys who get off on telling nigger and faggot jokes until they're old enough to commit hate crimes. What I gleaned from that sorry spectacle was sorrier than the spectacle itself. That night, I realized that there is no such thing as karma or comeuppance. Snidely's wife was gorgeous. Prom queen pretty. Pretty enough to go through life without ever opening a door for herself. Instead, she chose to marry a guy who is to being an asshole what Jimi Hendrix was to the electric guitar. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for hanging in, guys.
Thank you, Chris. You know what, Chris? I want to see you get in a fight one day. I do. I want to see you fight, man. I want to see you unleash some of those Taekwondo skills I've heard about.
36 years old. I have a bad back. I no health insurance. I'll take the punch and I go to the floor. And then I call a lawyer. That's my fight strategy.
He's taking a dive.
It's a three-point strategy.
All right, everybody. It's time to get into our next segment, which is Sal's Weekly Rant Special End of the World Edition. It's been nice knowing you all. I mean everyone. Family, friends, coworkers. I've had fun. It hasn't been all bad. I try to avoid a lot of the daily news. It's just way too depressing. There's always some bullshit going on somewhere, spearheaded by some asshole, whether a political leader or just some psycho shooting up a crowd. But overall, I've had fun. I forgive you, Mom. I love you. No, you weren't perfect, but I appreciate that you did the very best you could and the best you knew how. Your numerous threats at suicide were probably what fucked me up the most, but I forgive you. You must have been bipolar. To our public school system, it wasn't your fault. I failed you. Yes, you failed me, but the problem was mutual. Neither of us gave a shit about each other. To the girlfriends and lovers whose hearts I broke and the ones who broke my heart, I'm sure we did what we thought was the right thing for ourselves. As Prince would say, I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. I just wanted to get laid. And like many men before me, I often thought with my dick. I like to believe I've outgrown that by now, but perhaps it's too late. To the earth itself, I'm sorry, I really do love you, but I'm a member of this polluting so-called industrial nation. It's easy to point the finger at big business or the government, but I'm a part of it. I drive a car that uses oil and I consume massive quantities of plants and animals. I use the earth's resources like any other civilized person. I'm sorry I mistreated you. To God or whoever or whatever's out there or in here or everywhere, I hope to know all the answers soon. Whatever the scientists, philosophers, or theologians have been debating for millennia, I hope to see you and know you. Whether you're a massive bundle of energy, an intelligent being, or a big void of nothingness, I look forward to finally coming home. As Jim Morrison said, this is the end, beautiful friend, the end. Wait, this is the end, right? The world is ending, isn't it? I know that thousands of people throughout history have been saying the world is going to end, but this time it's really happening, right? 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist shouting in the desert, repent, for the end is near. But this time, it's really true, right? Numerous prophets, whether ancient or new, believe that it's all going to end. Is this really the end? Hello? Hello? Are we still broadcasting? Chris? Nick? Jeremy? You guys still here? Hey, who turned out the lights in here? I can't see my hands. I don't have any hands. Hello? Hello? I love you, Mom. And that was Sal's End of the World rant.
Peppered with pop culture references, Sal.
Chris has never given me a look like that during my final week of rant.
I didn't know if I was supposed to play along or...
Chris has never given me a look like that. That was Sal's Week of Rant. Thank you very much. Now we're going to get into our next segment, which is titled... In human resources, this is terrible situations at work, funny situations at work, sexual situations at work. I know I got one. Chris, go ahead.
Sal, one night I was a lad of about 15 years old. I'd always been a good kid, but I delved into criminality.
What?
That's right. I was working at McDonald's. Worked there for a little over a year.
Sunrise, that's criminal in and of itself.
Sunrise, Florida, yeah. So this is a good 20-some-odd years ago. For the most part, I was a cashier. And that's what I always did. But for whatever reason, one night they asked me to work the drive-thru. I'd never done it before. But the two guys I was working with, that was pretty much their primary occupation. Well, this was a very long time ago. And if you'll notice now when you go through a drive-thru, there's a little kind of monitor. And it tells you, pay this amount. And yes. It gives you a phone number to call if you pay a different amount. And I suspect that what I'm about to tell you is part of the reason that that device exists. So these guys kind of pull me aside as the shift is just beginning, and they kind of briefly explained to me that they've got a system. I think they called it gaming. These guys had worked there for so long that they had memorized the prices of just about every item, including tax, and not only each item, but several combinations. several variations of, you know, item pairings. Two cheeseburgers, large fry, large Coke, cheeseburger, large fry, anything. You name it, they could give you the price right off the top of their heads. So what would happen is people would come to the drive-thru and they would ring up a portion of their order. Obviously, they had to ring up something because, you know, they had to look like they were physically engaged, you know, and they had to go fetch burgers and stuff. So something had to be in the computer. But they would simply omit, you know, a Coke or a burger or a fry. When you do this from every third or fourth order, I mean, the money adds up. And we did it one night on a Friday night. So we worked late. We worked, you know, a good long shift. We walked with $100 each. And this is, you know, this is, 1990 money?
Which is like $1,000.
Exactly. Living at home at the time, no less. But, I was hot, man. I got gold fever after that. And I wanted to do it all the time. And it just so happened that shortly after they introduced me to it, they turned on it. In fact, one of the guys, I think he genuinely believed that he'd been the victim of like a karmic comeuppance, because I think he had some money, like a nice thick wad of cash that he'd gotten from running the scam in his glove compartment, and his car got broken into and the money got stolen. And I think he just read way too much into it. And he went, not only did he stop doing it, but he went to the boss and confessed to what he had been doing.
What?
Yeah. Luckily, he didn't, you know, he didn't name names. It didn't involve me. But
the good news is, did they blame it all on him, though? Or did they not even know about it?
No, but there was no investigation, as I recall. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, no penance. Nobody was fired over the matter. In fact, I don't even think he was fired over the matter.
Have you seen that video of where they take that young girl into the back room, accuse her of stealing at the McDonald's, and make her take her clothes off and jump up and down?
Yeah, I do remember. I heard about that. It's an insane story. They made her jump up and down. They were that convinced.
They didn't make you do that?
No, they did not. We did have something similar happen. I worked in a Mexican restaurant a couple of years ago, and they had somebody apparently got their locker broken into, and they lost a couple $100. And for whatever reason, they picked this one girl. And this girl happened to have a couple $100 on her. She said, look, I moved here 2 weeks ago. I haven't even opened a bank account. Yeah. I'm carrying all this cash with me because I'm out and about trying to set up my life, you know? Yeah. And the cops came and they confined her to the office for several hours with really no concrete evidence that she had done anything. And they ended up firing her.
Well, they had no evidence at all.
Right. And they still ended up firing her, though, without any evidence. I told her, you know, man, you gotta go get a lawyer or something, man. This is a clean cut, you know, cut and dry case of wrongful termination. Anyway, we're running short on time, so let's throw it to you, right?
All right. My inhuman resources end of the world story. I was 19 years old. I used to work for a gym chain that was subsequently purchased by Bally's. It was my last day working at this gym before I was going to be transferred onto another gym site. My last day working there, and it was also my birthday. I thought I mentioned that. My last day working on my birthday, I'm 19 years old, working at a gym, about to transfer. I was befriended by this, she would only be called a cougar. I mean, she was in her 40s, and she had the hots for me. Let me just say, she was a cougar, but she wasn't a hot cougar. But you don't have to be hot to be a cougar. You just got to be a certain age. So she had the hots for me. So she decides to come on to me very strongly that day. So I take her into the break room, and we start making out. So I'm making out with her, and then it's getting really hot. So I decide to take her around back to the converted jacuzzi room that was then brought in. It was converted into a storage facility. So it's jacuzzi room, now storage facility. We go in there. We're making out. She gave me a blowjob. She gave me one of the best, most memorable blowjobs of my life. And to this day, I'll never forget her. Now, the problem is, though, afterwards, after the fact, she immediately was like, let's go to the movies tonight. I was like, I remember what I told her. I feel so bad about this now in hindsight. I go, I don't really like movies. That's what I said. I don't really like movies. Who the hell says that? So anyway, I just totally dissed her and dismissed her. So this is almost a confessions, if you will, in addition to inhuman resources. So sorry, lady, wherever you are out there, she's probably 60 years old now. Sorry for what I did. Sorry for just dissing you. You deserve better than that. But it was my last day. It was my birthday. I was being transferred. So that's my deal. Devil's in the details. You guys have any? Hey, listen, just want to mention Extreme XM, XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. If you are listening to us on satellite radio, it is on Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row. Do you guys have anything, Devil's in the details, any funny or scandalous work stories you guys would like to share with us?
How about a work conspiracy? I have a million
Yeah, I was going to say, if you were in a union in New York City, you're going to tell me you didn't see some shady shit at any point.
No, but I mean, even before being in the union, I was I worked for a company called City Postal, which was a package consolidator. They had an account with FedEx, back then Federal Express, and they used to offer you the highest discount possible, even more than what you can get with FedEx. Because FedEx used to offer high volume discounts to certain accounts. We were one of them, so we'd pick up your package and offer you...
At what point do you get the blowjob?
Actually, there were no blowjobs.
Oh, shit.
But the thing that you reminded me of was... There was one of our supervisors who was like a really uptight Republican white dude. Most of us were black and Latinos, right? So he fired one of the guys. And the guy went out and got fucking drunk out of his mind. And, you know, and he I remember him talking shit about, I'm going to shit on Jim's desk. I'm going to shit on fucking Jim's desk. He goes out after he got fired. He comes back, like, I think he was in 3 blackouts. He comes, he pulls his fucking pants down, right? And he sits on Jim's desk and fucking takes a dump on my man's desk. And of course, everyone's there and we're all like, oh, shit. But most of us wanted it to happen anyway because none of us like Jim.
You were living vicariously through him.
Yeah, it was great that Mike, I forgot Mike's last name, and Mike came and did it. So actually, I was a supervisor along with like 3 or 4 other guys. So the next Monday, this was on a Friday.
Did he do this in front of you?
He did it in front of everybody. We were there.
Did you see his balls?
We weren't looking at him specifically. We just knew that he was doing it. The big thing was Jim said, you guys were there? Yeah. And why didn't you stop him? That was his thing. And, you know, of course, most of us would have said, because we wanted him to shit on your desk. You know what I mean? But most of us were like, well, what was he supposed to do? Fucking hold him down? Throw him out?
Yeah, shove it back into his asshole?
Yeah, well, I mean, but that was the answer that most of us gave.
Do like when my cat's going to throw up, shove a newspaper underneath him as he's doing it?
Dude, it was like, I mean, there's a million fucking episodes
Jim.
Wyme, you want to share something, or are you pleading the fifth on this topic?
I'm pleading the fifth on this topic.
All right, everybody. Well, listen, once again, we have welcome our guest, Devils in the Details host Wyme Russell, Nestor Rodriguez. Their show will be on. I did make a mistake earlier. It will be on 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time following our show.
Right. Right. Check us out on Facebook. We don't have a Facebook page yet. We're going to work on it.
On Facebook. We don't have one yet.
But I mean, check us out individually. Nestor, facebook.com/Nestorius.
You have a Twitter handle?
No, I don't tweet. I mean, I do have a Twitter handle, but I don't go on it, and I don't want you to follow me.
Chris, he has gray in his hair. He does not tweet.
Yeah. Shall we get a few more minutes? You want to throw something around?
Well, hang on.
Wyme, your Facebook page?
Just the same thing. Facebook, Wyme Russell. You can check me out. Follow me. Come be friends. We'll listen to the show, and we'll share our truths together.
Well, your name is kind of spelled kind of complicated. It's WYMEWRUSCEL.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Russell. Correct. Right, which is crazy.
Kick my mom for that.
Chris, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, since we were on the subject what do we call it, inhuman resources. I was delivering pizzas a couple of years ago, and there was this gated community, one of these things where everything looked alike. I've never been inside the community, so I buzzed the guy from the front, and I go, hey, it's Chris from Papa John's. Beep! The guy just hangs up on me, which I thought was rude. So he opens the thing, but I don't know where I'm going. So I have to call him back, and I go, oh, hey, buddy, listen, I'm Chris from Papa John's. And beep, opens the thing, hangs up on me again. I had enough, man. This has been going on for months, you know? Months of getting stiffed. I had one guy one time who tipped me $100. I think he maybe just saw the one and he thought it was a single. So I go back, I knock on the door, and he goes, oh, thanks for your honesty. Snatched it back. Dumbest thing I ever did, returning that bill.
Wait a second. So Chris shat on his pizza? Is that what you're going
to
tell
us? No, I didn't shit on it.
But at Papa John's, you had to... I'm sorry. I keep thinking, was that protocol? You had to go, hi, my name is Chris. I'm with Papa John's.
Yeah. Well, because they're letting you through the gates. You can go to their house. It's a private
community. Bitch, I got your pizza. Open the fucking
door. I flipped open the lid on that pizza, and I tell you, you know what that thing that kids do where they go, I did that. I showered that pizza with every drop of saliva.
Good job, Chris.
My salival glands could produce.
See, that's why you always got to be nice to the people who deliver and make your food. I swear to God, when somebody's making my food, I'm so nice to them.
Right,
the delivery guy, you don't know what they're going to do that shit.
Hell no. Latinos would have, see, if it was me, I would have pulled my pants down and rubbed my balls on the top of the pizza. That's what I would have done.
Nestor comes back to work. He's like, I got to go home early. I got burned. I'm burned.
I rubbed my balls on a hot pizza.
Yeah, but the pizza back then, you're talking about like what, 90s? We didn't have those insulated bags back in the day, like in the 70s and 80s. You got your pizza room temperature by the time you got, you know, you
they
got
brought it.
They
brought it in a box? Just a box?
Yeah, in a box.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, guys, we're out of time for today's show. Thanks so much for joining us. Once again, thanks to the guys from...
thank you very much.
Devil's in the details, Chris.
Yeah, welcome aboard, guys, and good luck with your show.
Thank you.
Check me out on Facebook, Chris Zee. Twitter, Chris Z34. Like us on Facebook. Big shout out to Wes Hambright of Orange Dog Music. Big thanks, as always, to Jeremy from Skid Row Studios. Sal, any parting words?
Yes, check me out on Facebook, Sal Rodriguez Comedian. Check me out also on Twitter, Sal Los Angeles. Thanks for listening to Register Zero Offenders. Be sure to like us on Facebook.